Romans chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 9 through to 17. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Amen. And may God bless his word to us this morning. Everyone wants to belong. We want to have a sense of belonging to something or to someone. We want to feel part of something. So consider for a moment who we might say that we belong to. So many of us here this morning will belong to a family. But we also belong to a country. Or for some people, they belong to their work. For some, everything you do is tied up with your job and what you do day by day. We might belong to a group of friends, and we belong to clubs or groups that we are associated with. And good things come from this. So inheritance from family, money, friends, value, your place in society comes from that. That sense of belonging. This is where I fit in. This is where I belong. But let me ask, is there something better to belong to than all these other things? Well, as Christians, we believe that there is. We belong to Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible goes one step further and says we belong in him. We are in Christ, the Bible says. If you look at the start of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 with me, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. A Christian is someone who is in Christ. They belong to him. Now that is a really powerful thing. So God sees a Christian in his son. So instead of seeing us as maybe Ollie or Andy or Liz, God sees us as Ollie in Christ, or Andy in Christ, or Liz in Christ. He sees us clothed in his son's righteousness. But what does that mean? Well, this illustration might help. Imagine for a moment that you're at the airport. It's a funny thing to imagine with everything going on, but just try. We're about to board a plane, and the plane is on its way to Spain, and Spain is where you want to be. Well, let me ask, what kind of relationship do you need to have with the plane to achieve this? So would it be helpful to follow the plane? Well, you could follow the plane, but it would require a lot of effort to do so. Or you could submit yourself to the plane's authority. You can do it. In some way, we do as we travel. You could live under the plane and travel under the plane. That's probably a little bit dangerous. You could be saved by the plane. That's true enough if the plane came to your rescue. But I'm not really sure that we've got to Spain yet. Of course, the way we get to Spain is by being in the plane. That is the best way to get to our destination. By being in the plane, what happens to the plane also happens to me. The question, did you get to Spain, will be part of the larger question, did the plane get to Spain? And if the answer to the second question is yes, the plane did get you to Spain. And if you were in the plane, then what happened to the plane will also have happened to you. So it is true when we are in Christ. What is true of him is true of us because we are in him. And when we belong to Christ, his Spirit is at work in our lives. As we read the passage, I wonder if you noticed all the references to the Spirit in it. Let me just run through the verses and highlight some again. So verse 9, it says, "But we are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you." If we keep reading in verse 9, "If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ." Then in verse 10, "The Spirit gives life because of righteousness." Verse 11, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ." At the end of verse 11, "because of his Spirit who lives in you." In verse 13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death." Verse 14, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God." Verse 15, "The Spirit you received." The end of verse 15, "The Spirit you received brought about your adoption." And then verse 16, "The Spirit himself testifies." The Spirit of Christ is all over the place. This is the same Spirit that Jesus left us with, the one who he called the Helper, that he has given to us. And the Spirit of Christ is greatly at work in those who belong to his Son. Well, three ways that we're going to look at how the Spirit works. Firstly, he guarantees a resurrected life. Secondly, he enables us to live. And thirdly, he testifies that you and I are a child of God. So firstly, life in the Spirit of Christ, it guarantees a resurrected life. The Spirit of Christ lives in those who know and love Jesus. The Spirit dwells within. In fact, verse 11, "The same Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead is within us." Just as the Spirit raised Christ from the dead, he will also do it for anyone in whom he dwells. So verse 11, it says, "He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." Now stop and think about that for a moment. That the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you if you believe in Jesus. The Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. What a thought. When did you really last consider that? The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus himself, is in us. Wow, that is an incredible thought. And that same Spirit will also give life to these mortal bodies. Isn't that incredible hope in these uncertain times? That same Spirit will give life to these mortal bodies. Now, hang on a minute. So what do we believe about Jesus? Right now, what do we believe about Jesus and where he is? Well, what happened to him when his body rose from death? Well, he was physically alive. Do you remember he was eating and walking and talking? And then he physically ascended into the heavens. He defeated death and came back to life. Paul is saying the same is true of us. Thanks to the Spirit in us, we will also rise physically. That too is a wonderful thought and something to remember. We need to remember weekly, if not daily, these things and what God has done. We need to bathe, if you like, in the warm waters of God's amazing grace, remembering what we have in Christ and by the power of his Spirit in us and what is therefore to come. And if we thought about that more often, if we thought about that day by day, maybe that would help keep us focused on the right things, the Spirit at work within us. What will happen to our mortal bodies thanks to the Spirit? We will be raised. Do you know, as a believer this morning, I feel incredibly blessed, and so should you, that the Spirit cannot live within you without guaranteeing bodily resurrection. He guarantees that. It is, if you like, a lifetime guarantee. That's what Paul is saying, that we will be physically resurrected. Now, I did a quick Google search to see what items have a lifetime guarantee attached. It was fascinating what came up first. Lots of tools came up first, a ladder, plumbing parts. There was loads of high-end camping gear and outdoor walking products. They all come with a lifetime guarantee. One of the strangest items was a mattress. You can now buy a mattress with a lifetime guarantee. Rather than changing every 8 years, as one company recommends, you can have the other extreme if you really wanted, a lifetime mattress. Christians go one better. We have an eternal life guarantee. If you have the Spirit, which every single believer does, then physical bodily resurrection is guaranteed. When you have the Spirit, as Paul says in Ephesians, it is our deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And of course this is true. Think back to the plain illustration that I began with. Did Christ rise from the dead? Yes. Did he physically rise? Yes. Am I in Christ today? Well, you can only answer that for yourselves. But if yes, then what is true of Christ, of true of him, is true of us. Hold on to that hope. Hold on to that thought. Firstly, the Spirit of Christ in the believer guarantees a resurrected life. But secondly, life in the Spirit of Christ enables us to live. Whilst resurrection is true, and it's a beautiful thought, something to come, our sinful nature remains. And it doesn't want us to grow spiritually. The pull is away from God. So the end of verse 13. It says we must put to death the misdeeds of the body. And we have an obligation to do this because of the promises of Christ. So I wonder, what do you need to put to death this morning? Not even just this morning, over the next week. So maybe it is that quick word or that comment that you sometimes make to a loved one or a friend. Maybe it's that car moment. Many of us who are drivers have these car moments because we think we're safe and we can suddenly be filled with a lack of grace and patience. Or maybe it's that opportunity to gossip at work. Maybe you need to put that to death. Or maybe it's that grumbling, the grumbling about a situation yet again, and you need to put that to death. Or maybe it's the worrying situation that you can't do anything about, and you need to put that to death. Now, putting to death is a really strong action. Think about putting anything to death. Again, a slightly funny thought, but you might have a mouse trap. It might be in the summer a wasp. It might be an ant. But what are you doing? You are stopping its life. You are ceasing its movements. Paul is saying we need to treat sin the same. Rejecting everything we know is wrong and resisting sinful practices. Run away from sin and do it every day. When we were living in Scotland, school children, every day, whatever the weather, had to run a mile. So a special yellow track was laid in the field and it was their daily exercise. And for us, to keep spiritually fit, we need to run that mile every day away from sin and towards God. And it's a daily activity that we need to do. And for those who aren't yet believers, who live to please the flesh and allow the flesh to reign, at verse 13 it says, "For those, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If that is your will and desire, then you will end up away from God. If you purposefully and willfully seek to live as you please and you satisfy your own desires, you will spend eternity without God. But if we live by the Spirit and you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And our inheritance is with God forever." Now we need to remember from our first point whose Spirit is at work within us. It is God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Actually at work within us is the most powerful Spirit in the universe, God Himself. And that Spirit, He doesn't come and go. He doesn't run dry. He's not more powerful one day and less the next. It's the same Spirit that hovered over the water and breathed life in the beginning. It's the same Spirit that descended upon Jesus like a dove. It's the same Spirit which rose Jesus from the dead. It's the one and only Spirit of God. And He is at work helping us to live for Him. We know the struggles and we know the battles that we face with our sin. We're not excusing them and we're certainly not brushing them under the carpet. We have to put to death the misdeeds of our bodies. There is a responsibility for us to turn and run away and say no to sin. Let's never excuse ourselves. But God has not left us to do that by ourselves, but filled us with His powerful Holy Spirit, enabling us to live for Him. And we need to hold on to that truth, even in the bleakest of times. You know, there's a crime drama which is relatively safe called Death in Paradise. Anybody watch that? Yeah, a couple of you. It's basically got Miss Marple similarities, except it's set on a fictional Caribbean island, and it is also partly a comedy. You don't get that always in Miss Marple. But a murder takes place, and then the detective and his team investigate the crime. They interview suspects and witnesses, and they gather evidence. And then they bring all the suspects together in a room before the big reveal at the end. And you discover who the murderer is. Despite the deed that has taken place, despite the misdirection and the false clues, what always happens at the end? Well, good prevails. The detective always wins and solves the case. Every episode is essentially the same, in that you know that in the end, the murderer will not get away with it. And we might feel like we are not winning, that even our sin might have the upper hand. But don't lose sight of the one who in the end wins every single time. Hold on to the fact that God's Spirit at work in you cannot lose. We belong to Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. And he has placed his Spirit within us to make sure that despite our continuing sin, being in Christ can never, ever change. It can never, ever change. Well, finally, life in the Spirit of Christ also testifies that you are a child of God. In verse 14, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God, you are the children of God." That the Spirit you received has brought about your adoption to sonship. It is real and true and concrete. Now, adoption was a common legal procedure in Rome, especially with wealthy adults who had no heirs. They would adopt, and it might be children, it might even be an adult. And it was all-encompassing. Any of your debts were paid by your new family. You received the family name, and therefore the inheritance was yours. You became heir to the estate. And the only obligation to the son or daughter, to please the father. To please the father. And this was legally binding. It couldn't ever change. Well, the same is true of us in Christ. That's what Paul is saying. The spiritual debts have been paid. We have received his name. We are heirs to the inheritance which is promised to us in Christ. And so we now live to please our Father. And so consider that wonderful truth as well, that you have been adopted by God. You've been adopted. He has made you his own. The person being adopted doesn't pick. Rather, those adopting take on the child. It is a legal act by the parents. God has adopted us and made us his own. What does that mean? Well, it means that we can cry out, verse 15, to the God of the universe saying, "Abba, Father." So it is the most intimate term for daddy in the Aramaic. The word in which Jesus himself uses in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Abba, Father." And something changes internally. We're told the Spirit himself testifies in verse 16 with our own spirit that we are God's children. So incredibly, I am God's son, loved by him. I belong to him. You are God's son or God's daughter. And it means so much more. In verse 17, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Together with Christ, we are heirs of so much more. Did you notice that it says that we are heirs of God? We inherit God himself. What is in store for us is far beyond what we could dream or imagine. It is so grand and glorious. It is God himself who becomes ours as part of our inheritance with Christ. Yes, adoption means so much more. Nearly every month I need to use a comparison website. Compare the Market is one of them. Some of you will have used that yourselves. With its meerkats and the somewhat clever link to the Compare the Meerkat campaign. It worked, didn't it? You don't forget the website. Anyway, you can use the website to get cheaper insurance, energy comparison, mortgages and broadband, etc. And you can usually find a better deal. But not only do you get cheaper insurance, you also get 2-for-1 on your Meerkat movies. Not only that, you also get your 2-for-1 on your Meerkat meals. Because it is so much more than just cheaper insurance these days. Well, those worldly benefits are nothing compared to the privileges of being adopted into God's family. As a child of God, we can call God Abba Father. We become co-heirs with Christ, heirs of God himself. It is truly glorious. But let me finish by saying three brief things. Firstly, it's probably worth saying that I know some of you here today struggle with the idea of God being our Father. And I do understand that. One of my mum's partners was awful in lots of ways. But unlike any earthly father, whether good or bad, this Father is always good. He is always loving. And he's always working for our best. And we need to pray that we grasp how wonderful that is, having God as our Father. Secondly, what about if you're here this morning and you're feeling unsure? Does the Spirit really testify to yours? Maybe you have doubts. Am I really a Christian? Well, these questions might help. Do you still want to fight sin? Even the smallest ounce of fight in you when you sin and slip up? Is there a small part of you that wants to fight it? And even after what feels like the greatest sin that you've committed, do you still feel convicted and want to turn to God? Or maybe ask yourself the question, do you still want to cry out to God with how you're feeling? Whether that's angry or whether that's confused, your reaction is, I want to cry out to God. Well, this is the Spirit at work. He is testifying to you that you still belong to him. But maybe the question does need to be asked, have you really surrendered your life to God? Verse 9 says, if anyone, at the bottom of verse 9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. And if that is the case, then the Spirit will not testify with yours. So maybe you need to come before God and repent and ask Him to fill you with the gift of His Holy Spirit. And thirdly, we cannot ignore the end of verse 17. To receive all that glory with Christ, all that we've thought about this morning, then we need to seek to be more like Christ now. And that means just as Christ suffered, we too will share in His sufferings. Part of being adopted is that you become more and more like the family you are part of. Therefore, in Christ, we too must suffer. For only then will we also share in His glory. It is a sobering end to a very glorious passage. We have life in the Spirit of Christ. It guarantees a resurrected life. A glorious resurrection is coming. It enables us to live, keep fighting in the power of the Spirit. And it testifies that we are children of God. If we share in Christ's suffering, then we will also share in His glory. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You so much that we've been able to look at Your word this morning and think about these wonderful truths. Lord, with Your Spirit living within us, it means so much. It guarantees that resurrected life. And we pray that we would look forward to that more and more, day by day. We pray that with Your Spirit at work in our lives, we would keep fighting the sin and running from the sin in our lives. And we pray that You would keep us mindful of the fact that that glory is coming. But as part of being in Your family, that means suffering now. We pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen.